The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, Revelation chapter 16, verse 12. 16:12. There are three adjustments to God for the individual. Failure to make these adjustments results in various extremes. The most extreme being the individual goes to hell because they didn't believe in Christ and were incorporated into union with Christ. And that's the easiest adjustment, really, because you only have to do it once. You believe in Jesus Christ, you're in the plan of God, whether you think you are or not, because you exercised faith in the object that God honors. The second adjustment has to be repeated. It's the rebound adjustment, we call it. When you get out of fellowship, you name your sin or sins, and you're instantly forgiven and restored. I don't care if you sin, pick a number in a given day. You just keep rebounding, and you're back in fellowship. Because if you're out of fellowship, then you're grieving and quenching the Holy Spirit, you're not producing divine good, and you're subject to divine discipline of various kinds. You cannot glorify God unless you implement on a regular basis, as needed, 1 John 1:9. This adjustment, like the salvation adjustment, does not involve works. You don't have to do anything to make up for and contribute anything other than, in the first instance, faith in Christ. The second instance, name it, and you're back in fellowship. And even if you don't know for sure if you're in or out of fellowship, all you have to do is name it, and you're back in fellowship. The third adjustment is not illustrated in this diagram. This one illustrates when you're out of fellowship, you're ruled by the flesh. When you're in fellowship, you're filled with the Spirit. It's like throwing a switch. It's on or it's off. And that's why we take a little time so that you can sit there and make a decision that you're going to get in fellowship. And if you do and stay in fellowship, it will be exemplified by the fact that you're going to listen to this information and try to figure out what it's all about. The third adjustment is the maturity adjustment. That's where you grow from a baby believer to an adolescent, just as in life, to an adult. And it takes time and grade. But it does involve works. You have to apply the Word of God to make spiritual progress. You have to keep and obey the commandments. But then you have to learn them. And where do you do that? Well, you can read your Bible, and you should. But you need to be in a local church under your right pastor. And that's the system God has set up. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we assemble ourselves together so that we can grow in grace and knowledge. We thank you for this opportunity and ask you to bless our understanding of the matters that are before us. In Christ's name, amen. All right, the setting. End of the tribulation. Very end of the tribulation. And at the end of the and the tribulation is the day of God's wrath against the nations. Remember that this wrath is not without grace, as everybody on the earth after the rapture will get a gospel hearing and can receive information as how to glorify God in their respective situation as they work their way through the tribulation. At the very end of the tribulation, as we get right down to the end game, right before the coming of Jesus Christ at Armageddon, when he, for the first time in his humanity, leaves heaven and comes back to this earth. He hasn't been here in his humanity since he ascended. But he will come back, and we move to the sixth bowl judgment. Now, there are seven bowl judgments, and they all happen in rapid order. Bam, bam, bam. And bringing us, as we work our way, to number seven. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river. Angel number six, pour out, ekao, poured out his fiale, it's actually more like a saucer, as I told you, on the great river, upon river Potomas, great Megas, Euphrates. And the water was dried up, so that the way would be prepared for the kings from the east. Its water was Zaraino, means to dry out, dry up, aorist passive indicative. The Hudar, the waters were, its waters were dried up, its water was dried up, so that, purpose clause, to prepare, aorist passive subjunctive, hetoi madzo, to prepare something for something, the way, hodas, for the king, basileus, plural, the leaders, in other words, of the east. The word for east in the Greek is, you probably have heard it, Anatole. It means the rising of the sun. Anatole. The direction the sun comes up. From the east. Or from the rising of the sun. They've just said from the east. To run it out in the full Greek, it's from the rising of the sun. One. The sixth bowl, exactly like the fifth seal, has no immediate apparent visitation of wrath against men. It's not in a direct sense something coming down on people. It simply looks forward and prepares to a coming visitation from the God of heaven. We're going to get them to the party, to the event. And they're going to be coming from the east. These eastern nations, the biggest of which, of course, is China, and the rest of them, the Asians. The target of the bowl's content is the Euphrates River. The Euphrates River is very prominent in the Old Testament. This is one of the great rivers of the world. You know, in your top five, this is one of the great rivers of the world, and it's great also because of its significance in the Bible. They contributed the eastern boundary of the Roman Empire at its peak, and the land God promised to Abraham, Genesis 15:18. The Jews have never occupied that much territory in their history. Even at their greatest amount of land that they were over during the reign of Solomon, they never got there. But they will. The land mass of Israel under the Abrahamic grant is massive. Much larger than the Jews ever occupied. From their early days when they came to the land, they had to drive out enemies. Their population had to build up to justify more territory. The target, again, is the Euphrates. The first mention of this river system is in Genesis 2, verse 4, early on, in connection with the geography of the Garden of Eden. The other mention of this river is Revelation 9:14, where four fallen angels are bound. Kind of a mystery to me. Four fallen angels are bound, waiting to be released to organize an army of 200 million to kill one-third of humanity. We studied in Genesis, Revelation 9, 14 and 15. Now I know that trying to wrap your head around all that's going on this earth during that 7 years is mind-boggling. Mind-boggling. But I just present the facts here, and when it plays out, then it will make perfect sense, and you will see where, what, how, all the rest. So, the drying up of this river is designed to facilitate, in this case, the movement of the armies of the kings of the east so as to bring them in a timely manner to the battle of Armageddon. Again, these people in the east, many of them, millions, they have been evangelized, they've seen all of this, and they've remained negative, and their rulers organize these armies to march to the land of Israel. That's quite a hike, by any estimation, on foot soldiers moving on the ground. Wow. And so they're not going to have the obstacle of the Euphrates. It's going to dry up. The Euphrates has been in the news, suffering from a lack of water. I guess that means the headwaters and the source for the Euphrates is in some kind of a drought. But that's not this. I suppose, like everything else, people today, they didn't get taught geography in school. I don't know, maybe you did. I did. You need to know where you are on the earth and where everyone else is. And of course, you can get a map. You can look at the nations as they now exist. This is the battle of which the ruler of the earth, in chapter 19, 18 through 21, gather to thwart the advent of Jesus Christ. That's why they're there. They think they can stop it. The dummies. Again, once again, it's like always I harp on. You've got a Bible. And surely there's someone out there that can explain it to you if you're having trouble with some things. You got a Bible. You got the Word of God. For some people, it's just something they carry around. If I was you, I'd keep it on my person. I'd read a book now and then, just for the heck of it. You'll have questions. And you can get the digital information online if you're positive. If you want to be in the in crowd, spiritually speaking. The in crowd in the cosmos is vanity. It's all vanity. They're in the news, whether it's sports or some other form of entertainment, and people are possessed by it. I've been in restaurants where that's all they can talk about. It's a religion of sorts. Just telling you, people talk about what they're interested in. Do they not? They discuss what they're interested in. Yeah, there's some interesting things that are, quote, outside the Bible. But you should try to relate everything to God and His plan. If I listen to a song that's got vocal in it, I can dub it as More Human Viewpoint. Comes right from the STA. A lot of these love songs show no thought of God or His plan in your life. Occasionally one will mention a match made in heaven. It's about as close as they can get. Which is true when it does exist. A comparable episode in the Old Testament, the drying up of the Red Sea to allow Israel's passage, was literal, so this must be as well. That was a really big deal. The parting of the Gulf of Aqaba. That eastern branch with the continent, the peninsula, I guess, in between it. Yeah, I always thought in my early Christian life that they crossed the Suez, and I just was scratching my head. What? Why would you cross the Suez? All you got to do is go up there. You're heading towards the land of promise. And then once someone started talking about the Gulf of Suez and the Jews, when Pharaoh was closing in on them, what are they all falling apart about? They said, when we were in Egypt. Well, if they crossed the Suez, they would be in Egypt, and it'd be a stupid statement. The Bible has to make sense. They weren't in Egypt. So that's always a fun one to study, splitting of the Red Sea and the land bridge that God put down there, a natural land bridge, in anticipation of this event. God's always got everything laid out ahead, all figured out, every detail. If you haven't, you need to join His plan and quit bouncing around out here in the cosmos like another dummy. Beyond just being a believer in Jesus Christ, that's easy. Yet, the vast majority don't even do that. And I'm just reporting what's in the Bible, and it gets me in trouble sometimes. With believers, I'm just reporting what's in the Bible. Show me where I'm wrong with Scripture. Or shut up. Jesus said, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many go down it. And narrow is the path that leads to life. It's the few. And the few is a lot of people that become believers. But when you compare that, if you were counting dollars, the few, the many, is so much more. It's not even funny. So you're in the minority when you believe in Christ, but you're on the victory side. And if you don't get with God's plan down here in time and have enthusiasm about it, you will in phase three. That's the funny part. We'll all be on the same page. We won't have all these diverse views of everything out here floating around in the, among all the different people that call themselves Christian. According to the historian Herodotus, Cyrus the Great, he's a Persian, by the way, very famous guy. He's the only person in the Bible, unless I miss somebody, he's the only person in the Bible who was named through a prophet revealed to God his name at least a century before he ever showed up on the scene. He's mentioned in the Old Testament there. Cyrus the Great. Walked across the drained bed of the Euphrates in his conquest of Babylon. At first glance, the stoppage of the river's flow appears to be in a blessing to the kings of the east, but it eventuates in their being brought into a trap to be sprung, a setup, just as the parted sea proved to be a trap to the Egyptians. What is wrong with people? You've had 10 plagues. You've had a cloud, a pillar of fire and whatever, holding you up so the Jews could get across. And then it lifts, and you're dumb enough to go in there? You deserve to drown. Instead of just turning tail and going back and telling everybody that you ran up against something that's bigger than whatever. There were some Egyptians and others besides Jews that came up out of Egypt because they looked at these plagues and they looked at everything. Our gods aren't doing squat to protect us. None of them. And these slaves up here, their God is hammering the hell out of us. I think I'm going to join them. And there were some who did. They're called in Exodus the mixed multitude. Probably Ethiopians, Egyptians, and whoever else. As I've told you before, if you want to go online and do a little research, Red Sea Crossing site. The first guy to start promoting it properly. And it was all these evangelicals and all their commentaries from all these big cemeteries. They didn't get this figured out. You look at it from a physical standpoint, like I just illustrated, and you find the right spot. But tradition trumps the truth a lot of times. And so some Roman woman, and when Rome went Christian, forgot her name offhand, she just said, it's down there. The Sinai in the peninsula called Sinai Peninsula. Misnomer. The true Mount Sinai is in Saudi, on the other side. And it's got all the physical features that fit everything in the Exodus. And some guys went in there and started looking at this. They found the right mountain. Everything fit like a glove. And why have these evangelicals and even Jews not figured this out? Why do they just turn their backs on it? Was it academic pride? What's that going to get you if you're wrong? It's like a lot of these things that people are wrong about. They're going to get to eat. They're going to eat crow. Because the truth's coming out. So the kings of the East here refer to the nations that with vast populations, like China, Indochina, and India. That's the kings of the East. There are Oriental rulers and are represented in biblical prophecy by the spotted leopard with two sets of wings in Daniel 7:6, which is distinct from the Anglo-American lion in that same section. These are fun. These are fun things to look at. I call it Anglo-American. It's a lion with wings on. Maybe you've seen some pictures of pagans. They do these composites, animals that have features of other species incorporated into them. They take the strength of a lion, and in this case, the dynamic of an eagle. Both in their own way are dangerous creatures. I just read before I came in here that these eagles come down in these trees and grab these monkeys and take them up high and drop them and kill them and eat them. Who taught him that? So it's distinct from the Anglo-American lion. And there's a lessons to be taught there. The eagle's wings on this lion that Daniel sees in this vision is plucked out. That's the destruction of the USA, and it's in Daniel. And the lion stands on its hind legs, like you see in all the British stuff. And a man's heart was given to it. What do I make of that? What I make of that is that England is going to have a spiritual renaissance in the tribulation. England has had its highs and lows with Christianity. England was very instrumental in establishing the Jewish state. Now it's filled with a bunch of anti-Semites. But when America gets destroyed, her mother, it says, is going to be very sad. And our mother is Great Britain. The early colonies, Anglo-Saxon. We'll get into the United States in prophecy later. We're getting close. We've got to get to chapter 18. Oh, that's a popular one. But as I told you in my past history, I taught it and I never had any flack from anybody that I could recall. Nobody. And yet the evangelical world, with its pre-trib rapture and second advent and the coming of Christ and blah, 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 they don't see this one. I looked at commentaries right and left. I did get a book handed me by an attendee of the church since long gone. Is the United States in Prophecy. It sat on my desk for weeks. I wasn't on this property then. I was in the house over there close to Penn Square. And I said, okay, just read it. I read it. And so it's just taught me that, Jack, you just pray and let God deliver stuff to you. You know? Prime the pump. If there's something I'm missing, get it to me. Because there's writers and people out there that had something right about something. They didn't go mainstream. Can you imagine how popular that doctrine would have been at Brackett Church back in the day? With all of its rah, rah, rah military. Well, I never got taught. But the pastor got introduced to it by me. I just wanted to see if he could debunk it. He didn't. With the lion's wings. Then you also have in that chapter the Russian bear. Russia's in there. And Russia as a nation. What animal symbolizes Russia? A bear. And the unnamed beast of the revived Roman Empire. You can read all this in Daniel 7. Sometimes I sit around and think, man, I'd like to teach Daniel again. Oh, well, I got to do this. Background to verse 12. Verses 13 through 16, excuse me. Propaganda behind mustering of nations. There'll be a lot of things are generated, as you well know, by public speakers. Like an Adolf Hitler. Stirring up people. Or whoever it is. And the Antichrist will be a great public speaker in the cosmic sense. Very persuasive, very, very articulate and communicating stuff. He won't be like some of the ones we see today. And I saw, coming out of the mouth of the dragon, that's Satan, and I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the Therion beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. That's one word. Pseudo prophetes, fake prophet. Three unclean spirits like frogs. Three, spirits, unclean, akathartos, unclean, and then we have the Greek word for a frog, arachnos. For they are the spirits of demons, performing signs. For they are the spirits, plural, of demons, performing signs. Which go out to the kings of the earth and the whole world. It's broadcast worldwide. I wonder how in the world you could have done that back in when this was written. Technology. God's going to keep the technology thing going. I used to think it would all be shut down. Then I changed my mind on that. Which go out to the kings of the earth and the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. The biggest propaganda barrage you can even imagine. Attendant with signs and miracles to further stir people up. Hey, you're on the right side. Look at this. Boom, 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 boom. The dark side can do miracles. If there's angels that can do all the things we've been studying, well, the fallen angels can do stuff too. They can do signs and miracles. They're angels. So when someone says they saw this or that, maybe they did. But it isn't of God. Together them, Sunago, gather up them to the battle, polemos, of the great day, megas, the great day of God, the all-powerful, Pantocrator. All right. What we got here? Verses 13 and 16 are not an interlude between the sixth and seventh bowls, as has been noted between the sixth and seventh members of the previous series of seals and trumpets. This section is rather a topical expansion or a commentary on verse 12. It can be confusing. I got it. It shows that the leaders of the whole earth will join the king of the west and the kings of the east in the final great battle. They will be unified for a minute. They'll all have a common cause. They won't be fighting each other. They'll put that aside. And they will all join up. There'll be communication between the top leaders of the nations and their military organizations. Let's go. Let's get there. And in the case of the kings of the east, God does something to the geography to make it easier for him to be there in a timely fashion. These are the people that have had all those years to get their act together and have remained obdurate. Your word for the day. But we see this, don't we? Don't we see this with people? No amount of evidence, no amount of information can trigger their positive volition and get them to repent or change their mind and get on board with what's true. No. And some of you apparently are just distracted by the wonderful cosmos out there. It's so wonderful. Oh, there's fun stuff. What the hell? It's been fun stuff from the beginning. Got Adam and Eve in trouble in the garden. Fun stuff. It's people in a frantic search for happiness. But they just keep going back to the drug. Just keep going back. Me and anyone else is teaching sound doctrine. We're just a voice in the wilderness. John was in that environment because it illustrated the cosmos. It's a wilderness. It's not a friendly place for people spiritually. The world is not a friendly. There's friendly people. Okay, I got that. There's nice people. But the world is not your friend. You want to look up all the references to cosmos in the New Testament? You'll have a different view of the realm you live in and how you're supposed to live in it. So the session is rather topical expansion or a commentary on verse 12. It shows that the leaders of the whole earth will join the king of the west and the kings of the east in a final great battle, the likes of which has never occurred. So we're setting the stage for this. And what is their target? They want to subdue Jerusalem, the great city. They want to take it over. They want to preempt the setting up of the kingdom with Jerusalem as the capital of the nations of the world. That's Satan's goal. He's already made strides in that direction. Well, I've already made strides in that section by putting up this AI in the temple that people will worship, not because they're going to be traveling to Israel. Travel will be a pain in the neck in the tribulation. They'll get it on their iPhone or something. And they will worship this lifelike, human-like image of Alexander set up in the most holy place of the yet-to-be-built tribulational temple. All right, pay attention to me. Or try to. Because I care about you, and I don't want you to be like the rest of the dummies out there in your age group. You want to be like them? What's it get anybody? The stuff that's going on with the youth in this country is mind-boggling. You know, it was bad back in my day. We had a bunch of hippies running around, you know, smoking pot, letting their hair grow long, boys, and all the rest of it. And then it just went into the rock era, where these guys looked atrocious, in my opinion. And now they're old guys, if they're still alive. And they still have that long hair and they look like hell. Yeah, it's real sharp. It wasn't that way in the early goings. When the Beatles first came from England over here, they were nice dressed and had good hair. Then they went to hell in a handbag. Oh, they were talented. So what? They sung a lot of cosmic songs. Imagine that there is no religion. Imagine that there's no blah, blah, blah. Verse 13 supplies an explanation for the impetus to muster such a great, large fighting force. The likes of which the world has never seen. It's seen some big fighting forces, but not like this. The three uses of the preposition ek is indicative of a propaganda campaign through which the unholy Trinity will fan the fanaticism of the nations at large to mount a campaign to withstand the second advent. They haven't been able to throw off any of this other stuff that's been happening for 7 years. And now they're going to succeed, right? They're going up against omnipotence. All-powerful, all-knowing, omnipresent God. And you think you can win against that? This is the folly of Satan from his fall forward, that he could usurp God. Hasn't done a very good job, has he? He hasn't even got an inch in it. It's not even a viable threat. Even if he visits heaven, gets turned down, has to leave. I'm going to let you take your break. It's 24 after. I'll let you take your break. I'm going to wrap this up, second session, and then we'll give you new notes Tuesday night. But you got to be here to get them.